Two big names open NBAA's Atlanta Convention. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. The National Business Aviation Association's 60th annual convention in Atlanta this week officially opened on Tuesday morning with an address by U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters and a welcome from Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue. Secretary Peters came with a difficult assignment of making a case for user fees to what she knew would be a hostile crowd.
Good morning. Ed, thanks so much for the opportunity to be here with you to celebrate your 60th anniversary, and what better place in Atlanta, Georgia to do it. And Governor Perdue, I know you will follow me, but also an avid general aviation pilot as well. He was just trying to convince me that civil aviation is much safer than motorcycling. And you know, I think he's probably right about that. Well, congratulations to all of you on your 60th anniversary and celebrating also Georgia's centennial of flight. Even as we celebrate these important milestones, we are at the gateway of a new chapter in aviation history. And I hope that this new chapter will open onto a future filled with the same promise as the one Ben Epps envisioned when he took off from that cow pasture near Athens nearly 100 years ago. And how fitting that that flight was reenacted as you came here to Atlanta this year. It is a future of innovation, a future of expanding freedom as technology opens new opportunities and aviation propels our economy to even new heights. There's certainly a lot to be excited about in the business aviation community. As you all know so well, demand for business aircraft has never, ever been higher. After a banner year in 2006, new jet sales in 2007 are approaching the 1,000 mark. Meanwhile, eager buyers are snatching up used planes so fast they barely hit the market. And of course, the first new, very light jets rolling off the line, and the orders just keep pouring in. Enterprising companies are developing a new air taxi service based on this exciting new aircraft type. And fractional ownership and other creative business models are also expanding options for the world of business aviation. All of these trends point to the fact that air travel is becoming more convenient, more accessible, and is expanding Americans' freedom to travel throughout our great nation. And Ed, even though my background was more on the surface modes, I almost exclusively now travel by aviation, so I'm doing more and more of that. We in America really could be on the verge of the greatest revolution in travel since the interstate highway system, since the 100th anniversary of aviation in our nation. Except for one thing, and there's only one thing that could stand in our way, and that fact is that America is reaching quickly the limits of our current aviation system. Already, dated systems are straining to keep pace with today's air traffic. Last year was the worst on record for flight delays, and this recently passed summer was an absolute traveler's nightmare. The freedom that Ben Epps and other early aviators knew when they took to the skies has been replaced in some cases by frustration, a frustration felt by weary travelers who have been stranded sometimes for hours on the runway, missing connections, missing meetings, missing out on child's first pitch, a solo performance, or even, as one passenger told me recently, missing a funeral that was very important to him. It's clear that to ensure freedom and convenience and reliability in our skies, we must bring the aviation traffic management system into the 21st century. President Bush made a point of emphasizing to me how important modernizing America's aviation system was when I was sworn in as Secretary of Transportation, as Ed pointed out, just 1 year ago. And like the president, every business person in this room knows how important technology is to maintaining a competitive edge. You wouldn't expect your employees to operate today's incredibly complex systems with outdated technology, and nor should our nation's air traffic controllers. Yet I remember visiting the TRACON at the Pensacola Airport just shortly after Hurricane Ivan when I went there with Secretary Mineta, and two impressions stood out in my mind that day. The first, of course, was the incredible damage that had been done by the storm to that important airport. But the second was that equipment looked like something that was used to guide the Beatles during their first trip to visit here in America. The planes of that bygone era have given way today to Dreamliners and to the new microjets. But the basic design of the technology that we use to manage air traffic has not changed fundamentally since the first opportunity I had to walk on a tarmac and board my very first airplane just after I graduated from high school. And I won't tell you how long ago that was, but I will tell you that Alice Cooper was in my graduating class, so some of you might be able to figure that out. You know, we still use and still rely on ground-based radar systems to track planes in the sky. And our controllers still rely on voice communications to get that information to our pilots. We must transform the way we move air traffic and transform it with technology that is fit for the 21st century, not for the last century. The cornerstone of this transformation I'm talking about is NextGen, the Next Generation Air Transportation System Initiative, one that you all know well. Replacing our outdated air traffic control architecture with state-of-the-art satellite-based navigation can and will dramatically improve the way America flies. It will enable significantly better use of our airspace, better use of our airports, and greater safety, security, and freedom for Americans who travel for business and for pleasure. Business aviation is already making investments in the advanced avionics that you need to reap NextGen's benefits in your aircraft. And we know you are eager to get a return on that investment. Imagine what it will mean when you can take full advantage of the technologies that allow pilots to have a real-time view in their cockpits, a real-time view of the airspace and the aircraft around them. That save time and save fuel by enabling pilots to choose the most efficient course, and that dynamically network pilots with other pilots and controllers to minimize delay and to maximize the use of the airspace. Business aviation today is a strong, fast-growing industry. We absolutely want to keep it that way, and I know you want to keep it that way. But the industry will atrophy if the airspace becomes too tight, if the airports become too crowded and the runways too busy for you to visit your business when you need to do so. There is no time to waste for us to make this transformation. Estimates are that by 2022, congestion across our skies will cost this nation $22 billion every year in lost economic activity. And that number grows to $40 billion annually by 2033 if we don't act. That's your bottom line, as you know only too well, that would take a hit, this congestion. To head off these consequences, real reform has to be part of the FAA reauthorization when it comes to the president's desk. We need greater freedom to allow the market to work to reduce delays in the air and on the ground. Whether it's allocating space at constrained airports that simply have no place to grow, or allocating funding to services that are most in demand. And I am very concerned that the bill passed by the House of Representatives last Thursday fails to deliver a cost-based financing structure for the FAA. Without a more direct link between the services that FAA provides and the cost paid by our customers, it's politicians in Washington, not users like you, who are going to decide how the money is spent. And I think that's wrong. I'm going to be honest with you, though. Unless we take advantage of this opportunity to put a more certain funding mechanism in place, it is unlikely that the FAA will be able to move to NextGen in a timely and in a cost-effective manner. And please know, this is not about being pro-GA or anti-GA. This is about fixing a financial model that is simply incapable of addressing delays as it is currently constructed. Without fundamental change, we are guaranteeing worse congestion and more inconvenience for air travelers, including the business and the general aviation community. In fact, without fundamental change, the future of general aviation itself could be at risk, as are all the companies that depend on the general aviation marketplace. This isn't a time for any of us to start with special interest. This is a time to appreciate the seriousness of our problem and to come together for the good of the people on a common set of solutions that address the pending crisis in aviation. Ultimately, the House, the Senate, the administration, and of course you, the users of the system, will have to agree on what is right for the FAA and what is fair for the aviation community. But the clock is ticking. We are just 5 short days from the end of the fiscal year. And this is a time, as we all know so well, that the current authorization for the FAA and the funding mechanisms that support it will expire. We simply cannot afford the kind of delay that we lived through when the surface transportation reauthorization, when I was at Federal Highways. That authorization took 12 extensions and 22 months before it finally made its way to the President's desk. And as you all also know only too well, the Aviation Trust Fund simply cannot withstand a significant delay like that. In aviation, extensions will translate into flight delays. It will translate into uncertainty for travelers and gridlock in the world's largest air traffic network. As you discussed at the onset of this meeting, aviation has come a long, long way since Ben Epp set out on that little plane with wheels from his bike shop and wings that were stitched together on his mother's sewing machine. Ben didn't have to worry about crowded runways or crowded skies. There were only a handful of airplanes and aviators in the entire country, in fact, in the world for that matter, at that point in time. But a century later, more than 84,000 planes take off across America every day, and over half of them are those critically important general aviation flights. And tomorrow, well, that's up to all of us. But let's work together to get a final aviation bill in place, an aviation bill with a funding model that delivers next gen and keeps U.S. aviation, including the very, very important general aviation community, the most vibrant aviation system in the world. Thank you all so much for giving me the opportunity to speak with you as you open this important conference, and I look forward to continuing the dialogue with you and with your industry as we move forward to make these important decisions. Thank you so much.
Listen to that applause. The NBAA crowd is nothing if not polite. In a moment, we'll hear the opening comments of Georgia Governor and lifelong aviator Sonny Perdue. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. It's not unusual for the governor of a state to drop by for an official welcome address to attendees of an event with the size and economic impact of the NBAA convention. But it is unusual to find a governor where the background is deep in aviation, as that of Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue. Here are the governor's opening remarks at NBAA this week.
Well, good morning and welcome back, y'all. I'd love to say welcome home, Ed. And it's good to have the NBAA here once again. I remember when you were here last, and it's been almost 10 long years. Think about the technological advances that have gone on in aviation since that time. So I've been like a little kid waiting for Christmas to come to the floor and see all the new stuff, and I'm excited about it. I share some numbers with NBAA. You were founded in the beginning of 1947 in New York. I was found at the end of 1946 in Perry, Georgia. So we share those numbers. I'm also celebrating this year, 2007, my 40th anniversary as a licensed pilot. So I'm very happy to be here in many ways, and to have you all back here as well to have this wonderful convention here in our town. I know many of you in aviation, in corporate and personal aviation, whether you're a business owner, whether you are a corporate CEO, or whether you're a flight director, we're always trying to justify our existence. I've got a little story of my own that will help you understand how I value and maybe quantify aviation in my experience. In 2002, I had the good sense to run against an embedded, well-financed incumbent in Georgia, a Democratic incumbent. Georgia had not had a Republican governor since Reconstruction, but people asked me how I decided to do that. I said I got too close and they pushed me in. But nevertheless, I found myself as a candidate for governor at the beginning of 2002. Now, it had been a few years since those early years of my flight experience when I used some of Secretary Peter's longest runway in Georgia, about 100 miles, as I commuted, Pat, between Athens, Georgia, and my home on Highway 96 and pulled into my driveway in a J-5 Cub. Now, I think the statute of limitations has run out on that, Secretary, but that's how I got back and forth to home. But I had become the owner of Belanca Super Viking, and when I started to run for governor, I knew there was a hunger out there for people to see face-to-face the candidate. My opponent was all over Georgia through a television screen. Now, that takes a lot of money. I didn't have $25 million that he spent in that campaign. I raised a little over three. But I had good friends, and I had a Belanca Super Viking. And I had a good friend named Pat Epps who allowed me to rent in a very modest way one of his offices in between his hangars right there on the tarmac of Peach Street Cab. So I'd stay on the phone all day long, working the phone, and then leave 5 or 5:30 and could make it to South Georgia for a function there and then come back rested. I really began to feel sorry for some of the other candidates out who were driving those distances and making them possible. So with the quantification, I figure my opponent spent $25 million on that race in which he was not successful. I spent a little over three, so I calculate the value of that Belanca Super Viking about $22 million in 2002. So I figure I got a ways to go. And I want to thank you for hosting us today. And, of course, it's always a privilege to have our Secretary of Transportation here in town with us and to hear her passion for our connectivity across the United States and in many different forms. I'm pleased to welcome all of you to our beautiful state. Once again, I think a real state of aviation. And I want to thank you for coming and bringing this convention and you all coming to visit. I certainly hope that you all will enjoy many of the things that we have here, including all of the aviation displays that you all have brought. We have many attractions. Georgia, Atlanta has changed a lot in the time since you were here, and I hope you'll take advantage of that. I know that you'll experience some authentic Southern hospitality during your stay. In fact, I've issued an executive order, you know, addressing such. So if you don't do that, let me know. But it's an honor, really, it is truly an honor for us here in Atlanta and Georgia to host one of the top 10 trade shows in the country, the NBAA 2007 Annual Meeting and Convention. And as a pilot, I can tell you, it's doubly pleasurable for me to be here and to see all this neat stuff. I know that your 60th anniversary is important. Just a week or so ago, we had the Air Force in town for the week of celebration of the 60th anniversary of the Air Force, and that was well celebrated. But once again, the celebration here in Georgia, our centennial of flight, 100 years of anniversary of flight in Georgia. To think about that, 1907, a 19-year-old Ben Epps flew that monoplane over that cow pasture in Athens, about 70 miles from here. Bicycle wheels, and a runway was a hill that kind of gave him a rolling start. It helped him reach an altitude of, where he didn't quite need oxygen, 50 feet. That day, that flight might have just covered 100 yards that day. But think about what that 100 yards has meant and been extended to in the 100 years hence. He started a grand tradition of flight in our state, and helped to begin the revolution of travel by airplane in this nation. And we've come a long way since that first makeshift monoplane. Today's Georgia's aerospace industry is rated 8th in the nation. We have, these are the numbers that I like as governor, trying to make sure that we have plenty of jobs. 83,000 people working for 500 aerospace and aviation companies, from small businesses to well-known businesses that are demonstrating here, like Cessna and Gulfstream. In fact, both of these companies has recently expanded their operations significantly in our state, and we're very proud of that. We feel like we've been good stewards, and the workforce in both of these areas has encouraged those companies to expand significantly in Columbus with Cessna on a $24 million expansion. And last year, we were delighted, Brian, to have Gulfstream's announcement of an intention to invest $400 million and add 1,100 jobs in Savannah as they expand their manufacturing and service facilities right here in our state. So you can see that we're proud of our aviation industry in Georgia. Again, as was mentioned, we have 207 public use airports and another 262 privately owned air and heliports. Home to the world's busiest airport, Hartsfield-Jackson International, which sees alone 2,400 flights come and go every day. And of course, we have the honor of hosting the nation's leading organization for the business aviation community. So, Ed, and to you all, I'm proud to be part of today's celebration, and I'm certainly looking forward to meeting many of you over the next few days. Let's have fun. What do you say? Thanks.
The National Business Aviation Association's 60th Annual Show and Convention set records for both attendance and number of exhibitors. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.